Zod the Gemara, Daf Nun Hey Omid Beis. We learned the Mishnah yesterday. Let's begin immediately with the Gemara. Neima Masnisin Rebbe Hi Veloy Rabbono. Let us suggest that our Mishnah only fits in with the opinion of Rebbe and not with a Rabbonon. As we've mentioned many, many times, whenever we say the word Neima, let us suggest, you always have to expect there's going to be a refutation. Neima means not Muchach. That's what it sounds like, but the Gemara is soon going to refute it. So let us suggest that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe and not the Rabbanon. Why? To Tanya, because we've learned in a Braisa, par. Remember we said that on Shmini Atzeres it's just one singular par, as opposed to the preceding 7 days on Sukkot, where you have 13, 12, all the way down to 7. So that par, habo b'shmini, b'tchilo mefaisin oilov. When they bring that par on the Yom HaShmini, before they bring it, but in the beginning, they do a pius. They do a geiro. Divrei Rebbe. That is the opinion of Rebbe. V'chachomim mo'imreim, that no. Achas mishtei mishmorois deloy shilshu b'parim. One of the two groups that didn't have a third turn to do the parim. Remember yesterday we made the cheshbon, the 70 korbonos. 72 groups, if you have them all going three times, which means two fall short. So the Rabbanon say that you don't do a pius. Rather, fair is fair. Who should get the par? One of the two groups, Shaloi Shilshu, who never had a third go, but Parim, Oisa, they will do it. So, we seem to have a machloikas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Do you do a pius, a pious? Which means that any one of the 24 Mishmores could end up being Zeicha to do the par on Shmini Atzeres. Or, according to the Chachomim, no, you did not do a pious, rather you gave it to one of the two remaining groups. Now, what did we say now, the last line of our Mishnah? Bishmini Chazru Lepayas Kibur Agolim. It said quite clearly in our Mishnah that on Shmini Atzeres you did do a pious. Therefore, that's why the Gemara is suggesting this seems to be that it only fits with the opinion of who? Rebbe. It only seems to fit in with the opinion of Rebbe, not the Rabbanon. Why? Because Rebbe was the one who said that you do a pious on Shmini Atzeres. And the Chachamim seem to say that you don't. So if our Mishnah says that you do, that would only fit in with the opinion of Rebbe. Says the Gemara, no. Afilu Tema Rabbonon. Even if you want to say that our Mishnah is the Rabbonon, it would still fit in. Why? Because when the Rabbonon said, who gets the final room, who gets this par on Shmini Atzeres?
One of the two.
One of the two groups. But which one?
So do a pious.
So you've got to do a pious for that. Otu, says the Gemara, Shtei Mishmorais. These two groups, Lo Yafusi Bo'i. They don't need a goyril. So it's true. There is a machloikas between Rebbe and the Rabbanon to the extent of the goyril. But everybody agrees you're doing a goyril. So for our Mishnah, which says you do a goyril and didn't get involved in the extent of the goyril, is therefore not necessarily conclusive proof that we're going with Rebbe. We could quite happily suggest that we're going with the Rabbanon. And when it says in the Mishnah, you do a goyril, what it means is you don't put 24 names in the hat, rather you just put
two.
Says the Gemara, says Rashi, Lema masnisin dektoni b'shmini choizrim lepayis kibur golim. Our Mishnah, which stated that on the Shmini you go back to doing the pious kibur golim, the kosal kadate. Now we like that word in Rashi, because that always means a what?
Change.
That's a hava amina. Soon it's going to change. Which is exactly, of course, what was going on in the Gemara. The Gemara said, lema, and then we refuted it. So, kosal kadati, our initial understanding of the Mishnah was, the kol hamishmorais bois. Underline the word kol. In other words, the initial understanding, that's really what changed from the hava amina to the maskana. How did we understand in the hava amina? So what does the Mishnah say when you do a pious? Who for?
All 24.
We understood in the beginning that that means everybody does the pious. That must be Rebbe. Veloi Rabbanon. Why? Because it says in the Brayis, it says Rashi betchila mafisa and olav kol, again on the line kol hamishmoris. Rebbe says that all 24 names go in the hat ki'ilu hu tchilas karbonis, if you're beginning afresh. In other words, we pay no attention to whatever happened in the seven preceding days. It's a brand new Yom Tov. You start all over again, according to Rebbe. V'lo yom rinon, according to Rebbe. We do not say, likrevu chad. Let one sacrifice, one of who? Mehanach, of those groups, shaloi shilshu. In other words, what is the machlokes really between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Well, what is the essay of this machlokes? According to the Chachamim, when you get to Shmini Atzeres, we're not forgetting Sukkos. This is a continuation of Sukkos. So listen, 22 out of 24 groups had a third go. So according to the Chachamim, fair is fair. It makes sense that one of those two remaining groups should get to do the power on Shmini Atzeres. Which one? We have no way to discern which one, so we'll do a pious. Whereas according to Rebbe, it's not true. According to Rebbe, we don't say that one of those two groups should do the power. Rather, what do we say?
Start all over again.
So our mission says you do a pious. Kosal kadate, we thought that, what does that mean, do a pious? Who goes into the hat?
All 24.
That only fits in with Rebbe and not the Chachamim. Says Rashi that no. According to the Rabbanon, lav afusei bo'i? Question mark. Bain shtehen, between these two groups, eze mehen tizke boy, who will be the one to be zeicha to do this power? Therefore, even though the Rabbanon disagree vehemently with Rebbe, and they say you don't put all 24 names in the hat, but they also say you've got to put something in the hat, because how else are you going to decide which one of the two should get the power? The Dilma, and therefore we can suggest that perhaps hahu pious, the Komar Masnisin, Komar, that pious which is mentioned in the Mishnah, what does it mean? It doesn't mean as you initially thought, that was the Salkadate. It doesn't mean as you initially thought, i.e., all 24 groups, but rather, what does it mean? Rather, it means Bein Shtein Hoyo. Just means you do a geirul to decide between these two.
So Rabbam not hold by.
What's the one? Let's just finish the Rashi. The holoit nan bay, because it doesn't say in the Mishnah the word bitchila. What is the word? excuse me. What does the word bitchila mean?
Go back to the beginning.
You go back to the beginning. The Mishnah doesn't say that. If it doesn't say that, it's inconclusive. So if we have every right to at least suggest. Can't prove it, but we have every right to suggest that maybe when the Mishnah says you do a pious and didn't stipulate anything about bitchila, so it could very happily mean that what? Who goes into the hat? Just these two groups. Initially we thought do a pious, probably means you start all over afresh. So Rashi's pointing out, it doesn't say bitchila. If it would have said the word bitchila in the Mishnah, then it would have been discussion closed. Why? Because bitchila clearly means we start all over again. That would only fit in with Rebbe. Fine. So the more about Keman Ozlo. Ho de Tanya. Who does the following Brisa go with? Which opinion is the following Brisa? It says, Kol Hamishmorois, Shoinois, Umashalshois. All groups have a second go. And then a third go, chutz mishnei mishmorois, except for two groups, sheshoinois, they have a second go, ve'ein mishalshois. Now who is that talking? Neima Rebbe veloy rabbonon. Let us suggest that that also only fits in with Rebbe and not with the rabbonon. Why is it better according to Rebbe than according to rabbonon? How do you understand the Gemara's question? It says in the Braisa that every Mishmor has two goes. In fact, has three goes, except for two. That only fits in with Rebbe and not the Chachamim. Why?
Chachamim are allowing a third go.
So according to the Chachamim, what should it have said in the Braisa? You're right. Only one is ruled out, not two. According to the Chachamim, 23 out of the 24 Mishmaris would have a third go. So how can the Braisa say that everybody has a third go except for two? According to Rabbanon, it's except for one. Now, 1 second. You just really have to add. It's not great, according to Rebbe, either. Because according to Rebbe, somebody might get four. But I guess what the Gemara means to suggest is, you're right, because we don't know who it is, so for absolute certain, we can say that 22 groups have three goes and two don't. What about the last one? That's open. But according to Rabbanon, it's not open. It's Vadai that 23, not 22, 23 groups will have a third chance. So why does it only say 24 minus 2? Says the Gemara, no, it's not conclusive either. Afilu tema Rabbonon. You can even suggest that this follows the opinion of the Rabbonon. And what does it mean? My loy shilshu, quote unquote. What did it mean when it says in the Braisa that what? That two groups didn't have a third chance. Bapore ha
chag. We're
talking about Sukkos. So underline the word chag. We're not talking about Shmini Atzeres, it's true. If you look at all 8 days altogether, then you'd be right that what? That there's only actually one unfortunate group that missed out having a third chance. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about Sukkos. And on Sukkos, it's 100% true to say that 22 out of the 24 had a third chance, but two didn't. Umay kamash malon. So what exactly are we being taught in this braisa? Ha kamash malon. What we're being taught is the chiddush of the Mishnah, which is the what? Mi shehikriv porim hayoim lo yakriv lamochar erachayzrin chalila. That is, of course, a word-for-word quote from the Mishnah. That, remember, before we learned the Mishnah, you would have been excused for thinking that, listen, the 13, 12, 11, I don't know, maybe somebody's going to end up doing 7 parim or 6. What did the Mishnah teach me? That no, we carefully organized it, that nobody did more than anybody else, except when we got to the end and somebody's going to have to lose out. It's bad luck. That's what this Bryce is pointing out as well. When the Bryce says everybody had three goes, except for two groups that only had two goes, what the Bryce is in fact teaching me is the Chiddush of the Mishnah, i.e. don't think that when you got to the second day and the third day and the fourth day, everybody goes back into the hat, what all starts over again. It doesn't. Rather, you continue from where you left off. We said yesterday, you have the 13 Mishmaris, and then you start from number 14, and you go through the cycles again and again and again. Says Rashi, Umay kamash malon. What exactly is the chiddush of this braisa? V'chi minyona asa la'agmarinon? Question mark. Is that what the braisa is coming to teach me? Just the numbers? I can work out numbers myself. Shekein oyla ha'cheshben. That this is how the cheshbon comes out, kashachoizrin chalila, when you go through the whole cycle. Is that what the Bryce is coming to teach me? Numbers? I can work out numbers myself. Says Rashi, no, Mashani, the Gemara answers, komash malon. What we're being taught is, mai da'ashmi inonami, that which was taught as well, tana damasnisin. So we're not being taught the numbers, we're being taught the principle. I.e., Mishaya Makrav Porim Hayoim, etc., etc., then he wouldn't do tomorrow. So this wasn't just merely a useful braisa to help you add up the numbers. Once I know the principle that if you were Makrav a para today, then you didn't do it tomorrow, I can work out the mathematics myself, and I know I'll reach the inescapable conclusion that what? That everybody had three turns except for two. That's not what the braisa is coming to teach me. I can work out the numbers myself. So what is the price that come to teach me? Not the numbers, but rather the principle that lead me to the numbers. What is the principle? That whoever sacrificed a para today does not have another go tomorrow. Now it's true, we were taught this in the Mishnah already, but very often we find that a price repeats the chiddush of the Mishnah. Just that the Gemara was unhappy if the entire chiddush of the price is just to work out the numbers for me. I mean, I can work it out myself, I have a calculator at home. The answer is, the Bryce is not coming to work out the numbers. The Bryce is here to tell you that the reason why the numbers are this way is because of a very important principle which we need to teach you. Happens to be the Mishnah also taught us this principle. So the more
does the Rabbanan not hold by Chagav b'fnei atzmo?
They do. They do. They do.
Even with this principle of.
Oh, I see. We got to pious. You're saying pious.
Yeah.
Right. Good point. It's only according to Rabbi that you can say that it's really a chag abo b'fnei atzmo when you start the pious all over again. Yep. Excellent point. Very good point. Very fair point. Okay. Something more. Omar, Rabbi Elozo, Hani, Shivim, Porim, Keneged, Mi. As we mentioned yesterday already, these 70 Porim, who do they correspond? Who do they correspond to? It's Keneged, Shivim, Umois, the 70 nations of the world. And Par Yechidi, what about the singular par that we sacrifice on Shmini Atzeres? Lomo, why is that just one? Keneged Umo Yechido. It's Keneged the singular nation, i.e. Klal Yisrael. Moshel Melech Basar Vadom. Imagine you have a Moshel, a human king. Sha'omar La'avodov Asuli Suda Gedoila. Make a big Suda. Why does he do a big Suda for the Avodim? Because you have lots of Avodim, and rather than making their own individual party, he just bunches them all together in one, because they're not that important to him. So you just make one big party for everybody. But Le'yoyim Acharoi, what does he do on the last day? Omar Le'oy Havoi, not to his slave, but rather to the person he loves, or with you, I want to make a separate party. Aseli Suda Ketano, make me a small party, Kadesh Ehen Nemimcha, that I can enjoy your company. So too over here, rather, we don't look at there are 71 nations in the world. No, there are 70 plus one. That's why the plus one has its own special party, and that's what we call Shmini Atzeres.
We're not part of the
70. No. Shivim Umos are the Goyim plus us. Says Rashi, Shivim Porim, Pore Achag, Shivim Heim. There are 70 altogether. Chutz Mishol Shmini. Besides for the singular one brought on Shmini Atzeres, Keneged Shivim Umois. They correspond to the Shivim Umois. Now, what does it mean they correspond? So Rashi learns, Lechaper Aleihem, in order to atone for them, Sheyerdu Geshomim Bechol Ha'olam. So that water, rain, should fall in the entire world. Lefisha Nidoinin Bechag Al Hamoyim. Because on Sukkos is the chag that what are we judged for? Water. That's why we have the tefillah of Mashu Baruch Hu Nagoshim. So if this is a time of year where we're deciding, as it were, Kadosh Baruch Hu is deciding Kavi Yochel, who's going to get water, so in order to get water, you have to be zeicher to it, in order to have rainfall. So they first have a kapora. Who has to have a kapora? Absolutely everybody in the entire planet Earth, in order to zeicher to their rainfall. So we, as it were, sacrifice the atoning cow on behalf of the Shivim Umos. Says Rashi, Par Yechidi Shol Shmini. The Par Yechidi, the singular Par, is on the eighth day. The Melech says to the one who he loves, She'ehen Emimcho, Ein Li Hanoyo V'Koiras Ruach. I don't really have Hanoyo. What does Hanoyo mean? Benefit, V'Koiras Ruach. In other words, Nachas Ruach. Enjoyment. B'Shel Eilu. With all of the Avodim that I previously made a party for. Hello, B'Shel Cha. Only I have company, extra special enjoyment in your company. So that's why I'm making a special small Suda for you. That's exactly what's going on with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara in conclusion, now we have to understand this line. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lohem lo'ivdei kichovim. Woe unto the Goyim, she'ovdu ve'ein yoidin ma she'ovdu. What does that mean? They've lost,
and they don't even know what
they've lost out on. What does that mean? Bizman she'beis ha'migdosh kayom. At the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Mizbeach mechaper alehen, the Mizbeach atoned for them. But now, mi mechaper alehen. In other words, when they had the Beis HaMikdash, so you had the Mizbeach, Gemakrib Korbonos, even though it wasn't then, but it was Klal Yisrael, and in that Zechus they had rainfall. But nowadays, where there is no Beis HaMikdash, how are they going to be atoned for? Now, what is the obvious question on this Gemara?
Is there anything you want to go and get someone in the church? How would you fight for the Jews?
Oh! Why can't Israel any better? We've also lost the base of English. So, Nachum, yeah, you agree to the question? How can Gemara say, oh, woe unto the going, they've lost the base of Migdosh, they don't realize it. They used to have a Mizbeach and now they don't. We also use some Mizbeach and now we don't.
Yes,
So you're suggesting that at least we have tefillah. As it says, Neshalma Porim Sfosin.
That's our Torah.
Right, Neshalma Porim Sfosin. We can pay Porim, how so? Bisfosin, with our lips.
It really goes back on the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says they didn't know what they meant. They didn't even know that they were being atoned for when there was...
It's not a Pasuk, yes. It's the Brisa.
Yeah, the Brisa.
The other answer could be the greatest tragedy is to lose something and not know you've lost it. You know, the tragic moshel, very tragic, painful moshel. I mentioned it in the Parashat Shir once or twice. Imagine somebody young passes away and you come to the base ovil and you see the young mourning husband and his young children. What's the saddest moment? The saddest moment is not necessarily when you see them crying sitting on the floor. The saddest moment is when you see a 2-year-old playing with his Lego in the corner with not a care in the world. That in a way is the saddest moment, because he's lost his mother and has no idea what he's lost. That's even sadder. So maybe that's what it means over here. The goyim are not even aware what they've lost. We at least were aware. We would mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, we daven for the Beis HaMikdash, we look for other ways. A third teretz might be, this is based on a pasuk that we read on Shabbos, Zois Toiras Ha'oilo. Says the Gemara very famously, Menoche Zois Toiras Ha'oilo. If you learn the Torah of the Oilo, it is as if you have sacrificed the Oilo. When you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara says so clearly, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be with my children if they stray and they do Averis? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he did the Bris Bein HaPsarim, he says, take an eagle and a bird. This was corresponding to the Karbonos, that even if your children commit Averis, but they will have recourse, as it were, through the process of Karbonos. Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all fine and well when they have a Beis HaMikdash, but what will they do if they don't have a, when they don't have a Beis HaMikdash? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, then they will learn the halachas of the Karbonos. So it could be therefore that what? That's what the Gemara means. The Goyim, once they've lost their Mizbeach, they really are doomed. But we either have tefillah or we can learn the halachas. I mentioned this once in the Parashah, maybe more than once. When Chazal say that when you sacrifice, when you learn the halachas of Karbonos, it's as if you've sacrificed them, I once saw a tshuva in the Chikrei Lev. Chikrei Lev is one of the great Sfaradi poskim. He has tens of volumes of tshuvas. And he takes this so seriously that he in fact considers the following. It seems almost incredible. But he has a whole tshuva discussing it. He says, imagine that somebody would commit an avera, for which he has to, let's say, bring a chatos. Okay, well, he can't. Why can't he? Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So, Chazal tell us, fine, if he learns the halachas of the chatos, that is tantamount to sacrificing the chatos. So he sits down and he learns the halachas, and that way he has accrued an atonement. So the Chikrei Lev discusses what would be now if the Beis HaMikdosh is rebuilt. Would he have to go and bring that Chatos now? In other words, he takes this line of Chazal so seriously that it's not just poetic license. He actually entertains the possibility that you really have an atonement and there'll be no further necessity to bring a Chatos at all because you've already got your Chapor. As it happens, he brings two proofs that you would have to bring a Chatos at the end of the day. But the very fact that he discusses it is enough of a Chiddush for me. Because if you would have asked me, I would have said, Chveis Misfara just means it's as if, but of course it's not the real deal, it's Poshet. According to the Chikrei Lev, it's not so Poshet. So either way, maybe that's what our Gemara means over here, that the Goyim have lost the Mizbeach, which brought about their Kapara, but that's it, they have no further recourse. They don't daven, there's no Nshalm or Purim Sforsenu with the Goyim, they can't learn the Halachas, at least we can learn the Halachas. Somebody once came to the Chazon Ish, said, I'm learning Kodshim, I'm learning all the halachas of Karbonis. There are so many tens of thousands of halachas. Karbonis is extremely, extremely complicated. So he said to the Chazon Ish, he says, I'm scared. Imagine Mashiach will come today. We'll have to be makriv Karbonis. We wouldn't know what to do. So impossibly complicated. So the Chazon Ish, Beroiv Chochmosai, Beroiv Anova. To his utmost humility, he answered back. He says, I think I could pass the halachas of Korbanos. Chazon Ish, amongst many other incredible mailers, wrote his chidushim b'chol ha-Torah kul. There is no area of Torah whatsoever that the Chazon Ish did not write on. All in the same style. Chidushi Torah, every line. Okay, have a look, we have the Chazon Ish there. It's on the bottom shelf there. 7 or 8 volumes. If he would have written in the same style as most other Sforim are written, it would be a 30-volume work. But he writes with utmost brevity. Very, very good. That's why it's very hard Sefer to learn. Chazon Ish is a very difficult Sefer to learn. Because even though every word is meduic, it's written beautifully, but he's not marich. He doesn't explain, and it's very, very, very brief. But he's got chidushim b'chol ha-Torah kula. There is no less depth than what he wrote in Kodshim and Taharos, even though it's not Nagel Halacha, and some parts of Zroim, and then he's got an entire Kutresim on Kiddush HaChodesh, which are the most intricate, most difficult Halachas, Rambam. He's got an entire Kuntresim there on the date line. There isn't a topic in B'kol HaTorah Kula that the Chazon Ish didn't take on. The more complicated, the Chazon Ish took it on. Phenomenal work. So when this person asked the Chazon Ish, what would we do in Paschal and Kodshim, as far as the Chazon Ish was concerned, what do you mean? If you can ask me your Shaila in Hilchas Muktzah and what bracha to make on chocolate, you can also ask me how to be makriv achatas ha'if. You didn't see any difference whatsoever. That was the great Chazon Ish, Shalom Pivon L'chaim. Okay, let's make a start to the next Mishnah. The last daf in Sukkah. Just for a few more minutes, I have to leave early. The bris. Is there a Gemara there, Sukkah?
It's a relic. It was yesterday.
No.
It was yesterday. It wasn't yesterday.
There was or there wasn't?
There was.
Yeah.
Is that not that? Second to the right?
No.
Yeah? No.
It's Marcus Schwarz. Nachum, you know about Pena? You know the Gemara about that. Keep it quiet. But,
My pleasure.
Zot the Mishnah. Bishloisha prokim b'shono hoyu kol mishmores shavis. There were 3 prokim. What does prokim mean?
Times a year.
Why does prokim mean time? You're 100% right. Rashi says, begimel prokim b'shloisha regolim, the 3 yom tovim. Why does perek mean time? What does perek really mean?
Chapter.
A chapter, it's a division. That's the real translation. Proik yas onoch. You kum purukon, a redeem. When you redeem somebody, you are taking him out of servitude. That's why you're making a division. Here he is, enveloped, swallowed up by the enemy. Kum purukon. Perek is a chapter, it's a division. So the shloisha prokim, time by its very nature, is a division. B'shleisha prakim v'shana hayu kol mishmorais shavais. What does it mean, kol mishmorais shavais? All mishmorais were equal. Now, if you remember, we said yesterday, the 24 mishmorais, each one had his turn. He was there for a week. So basically, pretty much it worked out, you had 2 weeks a year, plus minus. Three occasions, namely, Shalosh Regalim, they were all there. Why were they all there? Because all the Klal Yisrael were there. So we said in the last Mishnah that on a normal week, whatever happens in the Beis HaMikdash is their domain. Whichever Kohen happens, whichever group happens to be officiating that week, they...
belongs to them.
They belong to them. Whether it's the mitzvah of the Hakrova or the Achila of the Karbonos. When it comes to the Shalosh Regalim, what's the halacha then? So we differentiated. We said those Karbonos which are Yom Tov related, then that is the responsibility of who? Everybody. And that's why we had the whole last Mishnah. So how do you split the 13 Purim and the 14 Kvasim? And you've got to find ways of splitting it up. Because whichever group happened to be officiating that week, because after all, the week of Yom Tov is no different to any other week of the year. There was one group that was in charge of officiating, but what would they officiate over?
Non-Yom Tov
related. For example, the Tomid Shel Shachar. Tomid Shel Shachar has nothing to do with Yom Tov whatsoever. It was brought every single day of the year without fail. That's why it's called Tomid, frequent. That would be the responsibility of the officiating Mishmar. So normally, under ordinary circumstances, you wouldn't say Kol HaMishmoris Shavos. They were all equal. They're absolutely not equal. Because whoever was there, they took responsibility and no one else. On three occasions, all the Mishmoris were equal, i.e. on Yomim Tovim. But with regard to what? Says the Mishnah, Be'emurei HaRegalim. Now that word should immediately set the alarm bells going. A mure regalim is a very, very difficult word. We had in the last sugya, or two sugyas ago, a murim are the chelik of the korban that goes on the mizbeach. But it doesn't go to the kohenim at all. So what does it mean, be a mure regalim? Says Rashi immediately. Be a mure regalim, ba'oirais shel oilois. An oila is, of course, as the name suggests, oila, it's completely sacrificed on the mizbeach, except for
the
oir, the skin. So the skin of the oirais, of the oilais, ubechaze ubeshoik, the stomach and the thigh, shel shalmei chagiga, of the chagiga shlomim, which Rashi immediately points out, haba'ois machmas haregel, which are yom tov related korbanos, oilas hachag, shalmei chagiga. Now Rashi concludes, ubegemara mefarish. The Gemara will explain my Loshen Emurim, quote unquote, Diktoni. What is the Loshen Emurim that is stated? Now we apply our regular rule. Whenever Rashi says the Gemara Mefarish, what does that mean? That there's a problem, there's an obvious difficulty. What is the obvious difficulty? As we just explained, Emurim is normally translated as the parts of the carbon that go on the Mizbeach. Well, in that case, it doesn't go to the Kohenim at all. That's obviously what was bothering Rashi. We saw that book on Purim. What's bothering Rashi? That's what's bothering Rashi. Rashi's bothered, right? Why did you call this Emurim? Well, if it does say Emurim, Emurim doesn't go to the Kohenim, it goes to Kavi Yochel, to the Rabbeinu Shlomo on the Mizbeach. So Rashi has sort of answered the question by saying it's not referring to that. It's referring to those parts that do go to the Kohenim, i.e. the skin of the Oilois, the Chazev Sheik of the Shalmei Chagiga. But Rashi says in conclusion, you're probably wondering to yourself, quite rightly, why then is it called a Murim? Says Rashi, good question, the Gemara will deal with it. So we leave it there. So that is one area of Avodah, where all the Mishmoris are Shavos. If you have the Chazev Sheik of the Shalmei Chagiga, who gets to eat it? The answer is, all of the Mishmoris will have to divide it up equally. Ubechiluk lechem aponim. And also with regard to dividing the lechem aponim. Now again, on a regular Shabbos, who ate the lechem aponim?
The two groups.
Oh, so we'll discuss the Gemara. But either way, it wasn't all the Mishmoris. It was the outgoing or the incoming group. But when you're talking about, as Rashi immediately points out, ubechiluk lechem aponim, im ira Shabbos beregel, when Shabbos fell out on Yom Tov, then what would happen? Shabbos Shabbos mesalkin oisoi. On Shabbos they would remove it, meaning the lechem, umesadrin lechem acher, tachtov, and they would organize new bread in the place of the old. Kedeksev, as it says, b'yoyim ha-Shabbos ya'archenu. It says on Yom HaShabbos, that's when you set it all up. So when it comes to the lechem haponim, which is not a korban as such, but that's also unlike Shabbos during the course of the year when the officiating group of kohenim, they were the ones who were zoicha to the lechem haponim. We will discuss in the Gemara what does that mean exactly. The incoming group, the outgoing group, but it certainly wasn't all the mishmores. However, on Yom Tov, then the lechem haponim was divided between all of the mishmores. How exactly that would work, how you split up 12 pieces of bread, or 12 breads amongst 24 groups, maybe we'll have to discuss when we see the Gemara. So either way, when did this happen? Three times a year. Pesach and Sukkot, obviously always has a Shabbos in it, but Shavuos, if it just so happened to land out on Shabbos, then the lechem haponim would be divided equally amongst all 24 mishmores who were there in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll have to hold it here. Excuse me, we have to make an early finish of a bris. So, Mitzvah Hashem, on Thursday we'll reconvene, and I'd really like to make a push towards this Mishnah. I don't think we'll get all the way to the Mishnah, but as close as we can, and then hopefully the last week as Monday we can finish the parak.